Boeing has a new delivery date for the Dreamliner. The Carter PAV is flying in Texas. And Airbus reports record deliveries in 2010. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, January 19th, 2010. Let the office pools begin. Boeing has again revised its delivery timetable for the Dreamliner, following additional delays due to an electrical fire aboard one of its test aircraft. The company announced yesterday it now expects delivery of the first 787 will take place in the third quarter of this year. VP and Program Manager Scott Fancher commented, quote, "This revised timeline for first delivery accommodates the work we believe remains to be done to complete testing and certification of the 787. We've also restored some margin in the schedule to allow for any additional time that may be needed to complete certification activities," unquote. Carter Aviation Technologies, which is developing the Carter Personal Air Vehicle, first displayed as a prototype in 2009 at EAA Air Venture, reports the aircraft made its first instrumented test flight of over 30 minutes on January 5th at Wichita Falls, Texas. Carter is developing its slowed rotor compound technology with some financial help from Textron's AAI division, which has licensed that technology. The company has also received economic development aid from the city, and the 36-minute flight on the 5th meets one of the performance milestones in that agreement. Company CEO and principal designer Jay Carter Jr. says the long flight was one of about 100 flights made over the past 2 months. He adds that yesterday, the PAV made its first vertical takeoff. Once testing in autogyro mode is completed, which Carter says could be as early as next week, the 45-foot wing will be fitted, and tests of the slowed rotor compound mode will begin. I asked Jay yesterday whether we might see the machine back at Oshkosh this summer, only flying this time.
That's always possible. Once we feel comfortable about the performance and we've gone through the testing, it is our intention to basically take this around the country and show people what this aircraft will do.
Oshkosh would be a natural place to demonstrate the flying aircraft, especially since the plan includes selling a version as a kit. Test pilot Larry Neal says of the Carter PAV, quote, "This aircraft is unbelievably fun to fly," unquote. Jay Carter will be my guest on tomorrow's Aero News special feature. Virgin America has placed a firm order for 60 new Airbus A320s to be delivered starting in 2013, including 30 of the A320neo variant. This is the first commercial order for the new eco-efficient engine option, although Indian low-cost carrier Indigo has signed a memo of understanding for 150 of that new version. This deal makes Virgin America the launch customer for the A320neo. With this order and growth from other sources, Virgin America's fleet will more than triple in size, from 34 aircraft now to 111 by 2019. One of the planes in the Virgin order marks Airbus's 10,000th sale. Airbus says 2010 was a record year for deliveries, with 510 commercial aircraft placed with 94 customers, 19 of which were new customers. Over in its military division, Airbus delivered 20 light and medium military and transport aircraft. That exceeds the 2009 totals by 4. On the sales side, Airbus says it booked 574 net commercial aircraft orders in 2010. The value of those new orders surpassed $74 billion net at list prices. The number also comes with bragging rights. Airbus says this represents 51% by units of the 2010 gross worldwide market share of aircraft beyond 100 seats. Airbus also won 21 new orders for its military aircraft. Up next on ANN, SAFE isn't at all pleased with picture ID pilot certificates. NASA christens a new rocket integration facility at Wallops. And downlinked engine data from a cub? You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
Piperjet.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 19th. I'm Paul Plack. SAFE, the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, has submitted a detailed response to the FAA's Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, which would require all U.S. pilots, including students, to get new certificates with photo IDs. The FAA projects a cost of $210 every time a new certificate is issued, including every time flight instructors renew their CFIs. In a survey conducted by SAFE, 97% of respondents opposed the rule. SAFE wants the FAA to discontinue or at least delay the rule. Short of that, SAFE proposes the submission process be paperless, including the photo to be used on the certificate, asks that the term of the certificate be made 10 years, and that there be no charge to pilots. The move to photo certificates has been imposed on the FAA by Congress, which apparently is clueless to the fact that certificates are generally not used as ID by pilots. NASA will unveil a new rocket integration facility at the Wallops Flight Facility in Virginia during a ribbon-cutting ceremony at 10 a.m. Eastern Time this Friday. The horizontal integration facility will support medium-class mission capabilities. The first customer will be Orbital Sciences Corporation of Dulles, Virginia, with its Taurus II launch vehicle. Orbital will be conducting missions for NASA under the Commercial Orbital Transportation Services Project and Commercial Resupply Services Program. Integration of the Taurus II at the facility will begin in February, with a launch expected later this year. Aero Specialties, an aircraft ground support equipment manufacturer, has announced the outright purchase of Australia's JetGo International. JetGo produces a line of diesel-electric hybrid ground power units, which has been distributed exclusively by Aero Specialties. JetGo's GPUs are specifically designed to meet the increasing demand for quieter, more fuel-efficient green ground power units. Aero Specialties will add them to its existing product line. Sport Air USA has completed installation and flight testing of the iMonitor engine monitoring system by TrueTrack Flight Systems in the new Savage iCub bush plane. The system interfaces engine sensors to a data module, then transmits each line of new data to any iPad or iPhone running the TrueTrack iMonitor software. The iMonitor app can be downloaded for 99 cents from the iTunes App Store. Still ahead, astronaut Jose Hernandez leaves NASA. Gulfstream expands in Savannah. And here's a luggage mix-up that would freak you out. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no nice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, January 19th. I'm Paul Plack. The brain drain continues at a shrinking NASA. After a decade working in various roles, astronaut Jose Hernandez has left the agency for an unspecified position in the aerospace industry. Peggy Whitson, chief of the astronaut office at NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston, wishes Hernandez the best. Quote, Jose's talent and dedication have contributed greatly to the agency, and he is an inspiration to many, unquote. Hernandez is the son of Mexican migrant farm workers. He joined NASA in 2001 as a materials research engineer at Johnson, then went on to become an astronaut, flying aboard Discovery on mission STS-128 to the International Space Station. Gulfstream has purchased a building off Lummis Drive in Savannah, Georgia, to house its growing R&D program. And it's big, 253,000 square feet. The facility is part of an expansion plan Gulfstream announced in November. Senior VP Press Henney says the move reflects Gulfstream's recognitions of the strategic importance of research. Quote, this expansion will enable us to explore new technologies that further enhance aircraft safety, reliability, dependability, and efficiency for our customers, unquote. Economic development folks in Savannah have to be high-fiving about now. You would not be exaggerating to call Robert Gannon an enthusiastic pilot. He started flying in 1992 in San Diego, earned his private certificate and instrument rating within 3 months, and almost immediately flew to Paris, France in a Cherokee. Over the last 10 years, he circumnavigated the globe twice, west to east and vice versa, in his 1969 Cessna 182, which he named Lucky Lady 2, spelled T-O-O. His logbook contains entries from all 50 states and 155 countries. On January 8th, the 60-year-old pilot returned to San Diego with his airplane, and that's the first time the two had been there at the same time in the decade they'd been flying together. He says he may write a book and expects difficulty weaning himself off the stimulation of flying. And finally today, a passenger boarding a JetBlue flight at JFK Airport grabbed the wrong bag. Really the wrong bag. Rachel Hazen was on her way to Florida when she inadvertently picked up a bag belonging to the pilot of a different JetBlue flight, Michael Connery. Connery is, or was, part of the TSA's program to arm some pilots as a security measure. The New York Daily News reports Rachel didn't realize her mistake until she'd boarded her flight, opened the bag, and found a gun. She alerted a flight attendant, who also saw Connery's ID. Both flights were delayed while things were sorted out. A TSA spokesman told CNN the handgun had been secured in such a way that it could not be fired. There's no word on whether Mike got a reciprocal surprise when he looked in what he thought was his bag. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in the conclusion of a two-part conversation, David Grohn of Grohn Brothers Aviation tells me what's ahead for his company, which has kept the dreams of its founders alive through more than 20 years of adversity. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.